You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Earnest labor for the master, from the dawn to the setting sun. Let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. Then we'll all of life is over and our work on earth is done. And the road is called up yonder, I'll be there.
Something. If there's any kind of music out there that'll make my hair stand like Dixie, it's a good old Southern Baptist gospel hymn. And these were the kinds of songs that I grew up singing. What a special night. To me, this is one of the most memorable broadcasts I've done in 10 years because we're kicking off Confederate History Month and celebrating Easter 1 hour to another back-to-back. And making tonight even more special is I've got a man I have known my whole life with me, sitting right next to me here in the studio tonight. He has been my pastor for virtually all my life. He led me to Christ at a very young age. I still remember that night vividly. This is a man who has buried anyone in my family that I've ever loved. All of my grandparents and uncle and then some. He campaigned for me when I ran for state representative in 2002. He married me. You know, I would never have met my wife if it was not for this man. And not only that, when I met my wife, well, he didn't marry me. He married my wife, I should say. But I would have never met my wife if it had not been for this man. And ironically, in terms of what we were talking about in the previous hour, the day I met my wife, I was driving a group of people to church camp. And they were having their youth camp revival at Nathan Bedford Forest Park right here in Tennessee. How about that? He's been at the hospital for the birth of both of my children. Been on our show before a few times, including he co-hosted with me, actually, in the interview with Ray Stevens a couple of years ago. Basically, any important happening in my life, this man has been there for me. And he's my pastor, David Rogers. How you doing, Pastor?
James, you make me feel so old, man. I'm telling you. I was sitting here thinking, James, you're talking about how long I've known you. I can remember I used to do a children's sermon. You remember that in church, in our little church over on Summer Avenue. And I would come down out of the pulpit, and the children would all come and sit on the floor on the carpet down at the front of the church. And I can remember you coming down the front of the church and sitting on the floor for that children's sermon.
Did you ever think of that on that day? Did you ever think we'd interview Ray Stevens together?
No,
I didn't. On the radio.
Well, James talks about Ray Stevens. My hometown is Pascagoula, Mississippi.
Where one of the great miracles in all of Christianity took place, the great Mississippi Squirrel Revival.
If you're a Ray Stevens fan, you know about the First Self-Righteous Church in Pascagoula.
Well, tell us a little bit about your background in terms of you becoming, obviously, a pastor. Your studies, we know you were born in Pascagoula, and you've had to suffer through me and my dad, my grandparents your whole life. But tell us.
I grew up in Pascagoula, Mississippi. It was a little town. Wonderful, godly, Christian parents. My dad was a business owner. He was a mechanic, had his own shop. Mother was a stay-at-home mom. I've heard people say, well, you know, Andy Griffin and Ozzie and Harriet, all those old TV shows, those are myths. I want to tell you they're not, because I grew up in a home like that. I never heard my dad say a cuss word. Never heard my mom say a cuss word. When Sunday morning came, there was no, are we going to church or not? We're going to church. And we went every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I used to tell people, somebody one time said to me, so y'all were there when the doors opened? I said, we opened the doors. I just had a wonderful upbringing. Went to public school there and got a good education.
It was a different time back then in Pascagoula, Mississippi.
Got a great education in public school, went to Mississippi College and Mobile College, both Baptist schools, and then I went to Mid-America Seminary here in Memphis, which is a very solid, conservative, Bible-based Christian school here, Baptist school here in Memphis, and got a great theological education there. And while I was there, I started pastoring a little church on Summer Avenue part-time. It was about half a mile, James, from your home where you grew up.
If that. And he's talking about, I know we have a worldwide audience, but Summer Avenue right here in Memphis, near Bartlett, Tennessee.
Yeah, and one day this sweet, sweet lady showed up in church. And when I went to visit her, I met James's grandmother. And she became a member that wasn't long before his dad and the whole family came. I don't think Jesse had been born yet then, but
that's my brother for those of you at home.
I should have mentioned that, but Jimmy and Susan and Pooh.
Hey, now I thought we had some rules here. Yeah, you know, we don't give away my baby nickname.
James, they called James Pooh till he started school.
And they mean high school.
But they came and we grew to be great friends, and I'm still dear friends. I talked to James's dad several times a week, by phone. I need a little favor this week. And the first person I always call to need a favor is Jimmy, James's dad. We've just been a close family. They're dear, dear, good friends.
Well, you mentioned, you know, growing up and how that was such a special part of your upbringing. I want to let the people know that, you know, if it were not for my upbringing, how lucky I was, you know, all of those Sundays, some of my best memories, looking back on it now, my only regret is that I wasn't there every single Sunday. And, you know, if I had it to do over again, you just think things will last forever and that everything is limitless, but everything has a number on it. But, you know, I was very lucky to have had the family that I have. And that's what Gene Andrews was talking about. You know, his ancestors and ancestors' ancestors going all the way back to some of the great Christian revivals in the Confederate Army when his ancestor came to know the Lord. And through that, all the way down the line, his family had been raised in church. And I was lucky to have that kind of an upbringing where my parents took me to church. And if it wasn't for that, I don't think it would have ever been instilled in me to love my family and to get involved politically in the ways that I have. I just think it's all overlapping. And, yeah, I'm lucky to know this man sitting next to me. And I think we've given you at least a brief example of some of the ways that we have, you know, grown so close and come to love each other over the course of my entire lifetime. And it's just been a very special relationship. And it's great to have you back on the night before Easter, Pastor.
Always good. Whenever James and I can't call each other on the phone for a brief conversation. And if we call each other on the phone, he'll say to me, well, what do you think about what was on the news today?
Yeah.
And we'll end up in a 45-minute conversation about political things and that sort of stuff. I'm not as involved as I used to be.
Pastor used to be every bit the animal that I still try to be, and I enjoy talking and working with Pastor on political endeavors. Not that we always vote for the same people.
Most of the time.
But listen, I love this man very much, and it's you know how we know each other now, but I wanted to paint that picture before we move forward. I'm glad we had the opportunity to do that. We're going to talk a little bit about politics after this and then get into the Easter message.
Are you familiar with the term vigor, strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example. Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test, and I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test, available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages, American Heritage School in American Fork.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
Sunday mornings, singing these songs. Every song that we've selected for this third hour were songs that I sang with Pastor many, many, many times. Love them. Can still sing them word by word, and I'm a better man for it. We are celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ here on Easter weekend on the Political Cesspool, and I've got my very own pastor, man, that I love, as you know, and who has played such an integral role in my development and life. And but we talk politics too, Pastor and I do, and we certainly agree on a great number of issues. And we were talking in between hours, between the second and third hour, about a topic that we frequently visit here on the Political Cesspool, and that is basically the surrender of a lot of churches to the false gods of political correctness. It seems as though they'd rather sin against God in Christ than sin against cultural Marxism in. We see these churches, Pastor, that not only allow homosexual unions, but would ordain practicing homosexuals to be clergy. Your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, James, we look hard at the homosexual aspect of it. I would have as much trouble with a church that had a pastor who was an open adulterer.
Well, to live in perpetual sin is, I think, the thing.
Just, you know, made no bones about.
Right, sure.
That this is the way I'm going to live, but I want to continue to be your pastor. When our church was growing and flourishing, and folks came in and they taught Sunday school, they had positions of responsibility and authority. We never said to anybody, well, first of all, you have to reach a level of perfection before we're going to allow you to hold a position of authority. But there's a standard in the Bible that's seen in 1 Corinthians 5, and I won't discuss in detail there, but there's someone involved in a sin, and Paul is writing to the church there, and he said, even the world, lost people know this is wrong. Lost people know that it's wrong for people to be unfaithful to their spouse. Lost people know that it's involved for wrong for people to be involved in a dishonest business. You wouldn't have a pastor that you knew was cheating people in the course of his business. And you wouldn't have a pastor, or as far as that goes, a Sunday school teacher or anybody else in position of responsibility that blatantly violates a clear commandment of Scripture and says, I'm going to continue to do this, but I want to tell other people how to live for God and how to be holy. It's just crazy.
And we've seen this in Indiana this week, where people who apparently, undoubtedly, have never been to church before, these practicing homosexuals, will go and say, Jesus had two daddies, talking about God the Father and Joseph, as if they were involved in some sort of a homosexual tryst, I guess. Who knows what they mean? They don't know what they mean. Jesus had two dads, and he turned out all right. God is love. God's basically a cosmic butler that is there to sanction whatever you do and make you feel good about yourself.
Well, one of my primary things I say to people all the time when they start telling me how you know what they believe about God, I say to them, where did you get your information about God? Where did you decide that God approves or disapproves of this? And we've come to an age where people have a homemade God. I have people say to me all the time, well, you say your God disapproves of homosexuality, and they'll make this statement, James, they'll say, but my God wouldn't do that. If you know anything about the Bible, you read about all these Old Testament folks that had all these false gods. They made them out of wood and stone and whatever else. Well, we don't make them out of wood and stone. We make them out of ideals. And we make up a God that suits what we want to believe. Not that we pattern ourselves after God, but we pattern God after us.
And it would be one thing if it was just the people on the street that have never been to church, but you do have people with some sort of ordination making these claims as well in some cases.
Well, in many cases, James, I have come to the conclusion that most buildings with a cross hanging on the outside of them or a steeple on top of them are not biblical churches. Mm-hmm. And when I say they're not biblical churches, what I mean is they don't guide themselves according to the tenets of Scripture, to what the plain teachings of the Bible are. And if you want to form a religion that is not a Bible-based religion, isn't it great we live in a country that will let you do that and won't penalize you for it, and you can worship your made-up God if you want to? But don't claim that you're a Bible church,
a Christian church.
When you say, well, I don't like that part of Scripture, let me chunk that. People say, well, you ought to be able to choose. This is not a smorgasbord. We're talking about God sets the laws. We understand the simple principle about our civil laws. A guy comes in and judge says to him, you've been accused of holding up this place with a gun. And what do you have to say for yourself? And the guy looks up and says, I don't think there's anything wrong with holding up a store with a gun. Is the judge going to say, well, as long as you don't think it's wrong, that's fine. But we come back to God and say, well, God says thou shalt not. And we look him in the eye and say, well, I don't think that's wrong. I don't care what you say. And people say, well, I guess if you don't think it's wrong, it's okay for you. That's insane. You don't get to choose what is right and wrong any more than you get to choose which laws are going to be enforced.
And as we were talking about before, you know, the reason America and the West and Europe throughout the ages had received so many blessings, in my opinion, and people are free to disagree with me, is because it was synonymous with Christianity. Europe was Christendom, and by extension, America became a Christian nation for a long time. And then a few decades ago, we began a radical turn away from the faith of our fathers, and the results have been predictable. Now, that's not entirely the reason America has gone to pot, but it certainly plays a significant role. And, you know, we were talking about that, the history of Christianity. I know a lot of people who agree with us politically but aren't willing to accept our faith because it has become in many ways a very weak religion that will allow this tide of you know, filth to just wash over it and wash it away. And so we see that the people who oppose Christianity getting out in the streets and taking a stand, albeit a very wrong and evil stand, in my opinion, but you don't see the fighting spirit in Christians anymore. And I'm not talking about fighting in terms of going out and being rude, but I'm talking about standing up without apology, defending the faith, as Charles Martel and Jan Sobieski did when they, you know, staved off, you know, their utter destruction.
Well, the thing is this, James, nothing more devalues currency, money, than counterfeit currency. Nothing more devalues the Christian faith than counterfeit Christian faith. And I don't care what kind of robe you put on it. I don't care what kind of stole the guy wears around his neck, if he wears his collar backwards. None of that matters. I don't care what institution he's been to, how many letters he has after his name, if he's pastor, reverend, doctor, whatever. It's if he doesn't adhere to what the scripture teaches, his faith is counterfeit. And the counterfeit always devalues the real.
Well, I mean, obviously you're stating a fact, and it's sad that this conversation is even needed to be had, because it should just be common sense, and we should know that the media and people practicing apostasy don't speak for the genuine article. It's not that we hate these people. We want them to all receive salvation and learn the errors of their ways, but unfortunately... they are willing to stand up and defend their beliefs. And I remember you told me one time you could see the day, if current trends persist, where Christianity is forced to go underground. I mean, legitimate Christianity is forced to go underground in this country. Let's pray that's not the case, but prepare for any such situation should it arise. We've got to take a break.
Claiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you sick and tired of just being sick and tired? Are you sick and tired of being told that you were somehow privileged? Are you sick and tired of being told to shut up, both at work and at school? Are you sick and tired of panhandlers pestering you whenever you go out to shop or to eat? Are you sick and tired of jobs that never come and an economy that never goes anywhere? Are you sick and tired of having to take orders from incompetence? Are you sick and tired of movies and television shows that depict a white man as a bumbling incompetent? Are you sick and tired of a government that welcomes non-white immigrants and exposes you to diseases? If you are sick and tired of being sick and tired, then the American Freedom Party is for you. Connect with us, theamericanfreedomparty.us. Once again, theamericanfreedomparty.us.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin, just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend.
All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com, your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
How many times have you sung this one, Pastor?
Oh, I can't remember. We love that song at Lighthouse, and we must have sung it at least once a month.
At least. I mean, I'm going to say once a week. But I want to ask you, we have a message, and the reason I brought you in was something far more serious than even any of these political issues that are very serious that we've been talking about in passing here. But I got one question from the audience. One of our listeners in Kentucky wants me to ask you in follow-up to what we mentioned a moment ago, you saying that if current trends persist, you know, there used to be a song, Onward Christian Soldiers. There's nothing wrong with a Christian fighting a righteous battle in terms of standing up for the faith and not apologizing and not retreating. And that's what I think we need more of. But talking about the potential of Christianity going underground, you look at the America in 1950 and the America of 2015, you do another 50 years in that direction, and Christianity, real Christianity, will be underground. Your thoughts on the potential, a listener asks, of churches losing their tax-exempt status in the near future over refusing to perform homosexual marriages?
I think that's a very real possibility. But let me tell you very frankly, James, I'm not concerned about the church losing its tax-exempt status. That's a wonderful privilege we've had for many, many years now. But it is by no means a right that the church has. If the government affords us that because it feels like the people feel like the work that the church does would be impeded, the separation of church and state, all of those things that come into play there. But if the church loses its tax-exempt status and people begin to say, oh, whoa, the church is in trouble, you're confused. The tax-exempt status will not sap the strength of the church. So, oh, but what about the finances? Where do you think our money comes from? You think it comes from the government? Some people will say, oh, it comes from the folks in the pew. It may come through the people in the pew, but everything the church gets comes from God. God make it rain money from heaven. I have never seen a time when we did God's work God's way, that there wasn't God's finances. It's always worked that way.
Maybe
James,
the churches should willingly give it up now so they could play a bigger part in this culture war that they are fighting a quickly retreating battle on. Again, we could talk about this for the rest of the hour and it make for riveting radio. In fact, I hope that we can have you on much more often. I am embarrassed that we haven't taken advantage of this more, because it's so refreshing just to hear from a normal Christian, and one that understands these things. But that there is something, especially here on the eve of Christ's resurrection, that is far more important than I knew. It was, of course, the primary reason that I wanted to have you on the program. Let's talk about the biblical story of Easter and what it means and the promise that it holds for everyone.
Well, James, the story of Easter is the story of God's relationship with man. One of the things that we often forget is that God is the creator God. Long before the creation of the world, God deemed in his infinite wisdom to create us, and he created us in his image. A lot of questions about what it means in his image. I don't think it means two hands and two feet. I think it means with a spirit like his. In fact, in the creation story, we read that as he created all the plants and animals and everything else, when he created man, he took set aside a whole day to do that. And when he had created him out of the dust of the earth, it says he breathed into him the breath of life. Now, that word breath is the same word for spirit. And the fact that God's breath came into the breath of man tells us that we have a spirit like God's. We were created with a spirit like God's. Of course, Adam sinned, Eve sinned, they fell, were kicked out of the garden, and the process of redemption began. You know, the Easter story doesn't start on Good Friday. The Easter story really begins at Christmas time. At Christmas, we celebrate the incarnation of Jesus Christ. God becomes man. I don't know how much thought your listeners have given to the fact that the moment before God became man, he was in his celestial heaven, surrounded by angels that did his bidding. They sang his glory day and night, were constantly singing his praises at his disposal. And then in a dirty cow stall, God stepped from heaven through the virgin's womb into the ghetto of earth. And there, not in a palace, but in a place where there were animals in the stalls, possibly chickens in the rafters. We often hear how he made his bed in a manger. My parents grew up on a farm, and I visited the farm regularly as a child, and I never will forget going out to the barn to feed the cattle. And I went with a cousin, and he said to me, "We have to put the feed in the manger." The only thing I ever thought of a manger was where you put the baby. But we put the feed in that wooden feed trough that was gnarled around the edges where the cattle had gnawed on it. It was black with a slobber of all the cattle that had eaten out of that trough over the years. And that's where the infant baby laid. And he came on a mission. God became a man, had a body like ours, lived in this terrible, terrible place as opposed to heaven, and he was a man on a mission. And his mission was to rescue us from certain ruin. What we tend to forget is that we are not good people. Jesus said, there is no one that is good. Paul wrote to the Romans, there is none righteous, not one. We tend to say, well, I'm a pretty good guy. I'm not as bad as somebody else. I'm not the best person in the world, but I'm not the worst person either. I heard a man one time say, that's like going on down on death row and talking to those cold-blooded murderers, and one of them looks you in the eye and said, I'm not as bad a murderer as he is. I only killed 6 people. He killed 12. We're all sinners. And the Bible is very, very clear. The wages of sin is death. If we get what we deserve, every once in a while I hear somebody say, I just want to get what I deserve. Whew, I don't want what I deserve. If I get what I deserve, James, I'll spend eternity in hell separated from God. That's what I got coming. You say, oh, but you're not that bad a guy. Let me tell you what I am. I'm a liar. I've told many lies. I'm an immoral person, done many things that I hope nobody finds out about. I used to say that from the pulpit, and I'd see people look at me with their eyes wide open, and I would say, if we could all look in your mind and your heart, you'd hide your eyes is what you'd do. if the things that we were done is what we were judged for, we'd be in big trouble. But Jesus said, you'll be judged for what you thought. When's the last time you just would like to wrung somebody's neck? Well, Jesus said you're guilty of that. If you wanted to do it, you just didn't do it because you didn't have the opportunity to. You're guilty. We deserve to go to hell. And Jesus came on a rescue mission. When he came, he was rejected by everyone. You say, oh, but the 12 didn't reject him. Yeah, they did. They walked away from him on the day of his crucifixion. But his mother, no, one time his mother came and told his friends, come get him. He's mad. He's lost his mind. Come get him. The rich, the poor, the religious, all rejected him, and we're in that category of having rejected him in our lives.
We're going to take a break with that and come back. Man, I wish this was a more than a three-hour show tonight. One more segment tonight, and it's going to be all about what Easter is and why it's important to everyone listening this evening. We love you, folks. We'll be right back.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2's skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King. So loving, so good and kind.
I don't know if you know it or not, but Easter's tomorrow. And I'm just really excited about this show. This was a very meaningful show to me, well in advance of us executing it this evening. You know, there's a lot of things that motivate us to take action on this radio program and the issues that drive us to activism, and we sincerely believe in all of them. And everything that we advance on this program, we believe in 110%. But if you go to our statement of principles, the very first thing you'll read in spot number one, and there's no accident that it is placed there, is that this is a Christian program. And I put up a little article yesterday, getting ready for Easter is the title. I'm not going to read it all because I want Pastor to have the lion's share of what time remains in this final segment. But, you know, there's a lot out there that can discourage us, and a lot of it happening in our own churches. But just remember that he promised that we would do even greater things than he, because he would be working through us. And take the time to ponder that promise as we go into the celebration of Easter tomorrow. But that promise will only be fulfilled if we work for it. We have to put forth a little effort. Pastor?
James, I've enjoyed sharing these things. I know most of your listeners know this stuff by heart, but it's good to remind our hearts again. Easter is a love story. For God so loved the world. Those of us who love someone, our children, our spouse, our parents, we know what it is to love someone. I recently heard that my nephew had been hit by a car. And the first thing I thought, not knowing what the extent of it was, by the way, it was very minor. He wasn't hurt badly. But when I first heard about it, the first thing I wanted to know, what do I need to do? I need to go to my brother, whose son it was hurt. I need to, does he need money? Does he need somebody to take care? What does he need for me to do? God looks at us and he sees that we were lost. We chose to rebel against him, and we chose a path of death. And God loves us, and he sent his son to save us. Calvary and the cross was not a blunder. It was not a mistake. It was God's plan from the beginning. In Isaiah, Old Testament, the scripture says that he was crucified for us. He was a lamb without spot that was slain for us. The cross was the plan all along. Jesus' life was not ripped from him. He gave it up. Jesus said, "No man takes my life from me. I lay it down freely." When Peter took a sword and tried to defend him, Jesus said, "Peter, put your sword up. Don't you realize that my heavenly Father could call 12 legions of angels?" Now, Roman legion was something fierce. An angelic legion, much, much more. Jesus said, "Peter, I don't need you to rescue me. I've been on the way to the cross since I left heaven to come to earth." And he went to the cross willingly, voluntarily. And he went there to do one thing, and that was to pay my sin debt, to pay your sin debt. If you've ever looked at the seven sayings of Jesus on the cross, one of them is recorded in Hebrew, and it says "Tetelestai," which is the word that means paid in full. That's the writing that would have been written on a document that, like we would stamp paid on a receipt that we had or on a bill that we had, they would write across it. "Tetelestai," paid in full. And what Jesus said on the cross, when he said "Tetelestai," what he said is the sin debt is paid in full. Now, guys, I don't know if you ever thought about this. I'm getting a little older. I'm 67 years old, and I'm getting closer to death every day. And I'll be real honest with you. I believe I'm going to heaven. I know I'm going to heaven when I die, but I'm not in a big hurry to die. It scares me a little bit to think about dying, but I want to tell you what scares me 1,000 times more. And that is to think that if I were not saved, I would be on my way to hell in a few years. And any of us who are not born again believers on your way to hell, and you say, "Isn't that awful narrow-minded?" And my answer to that is, yes, it is. Jesus was not a very open-minded person. He said, "There's one way, and here it is." Now, you can choose not to go that way and take your chances, or you can go that way. He was crucified and was laid in the grave.
I just want to interrupt you very quickly, Pastor, because what you're talking about led me to one of the great quotes I remember from church, and that is, Christ didn't come to give us fire insurance, he came to give us life insurance.
That's good. That's exactly right. And he came to save us from our sin. The great thing about Holy Week is not the day of crucifixion, but is the day of resurrection. On Good Friday, everybody wept. On Easter Sunday morning, everybody rejoiced. Jesus rose from the grave. I read a little devotion from Adrian Rogers this week, and he said the resurrection is a fact. And there's no, I kind of believe in it, and I kind of don't. Either you believe in the resurrection or you don't believe in the resurrection. It is a great divider of all of history. If you don't believe Jesus rose from the dead, you have no hope of rising from the dead. If God didn't raise his own son from the dead, what makes you think you're going to rise from the dead? My father used to have a saying when something died, and he wanted to emphasize it was really dead. He said, his graveyard dead. Well, the day's going to come when we're all going to enter that grave. And except for the fact that Jesus rose from the grave, we would be doomed to be there for all eternity, not just in a cold grave, but we would be doomed to be in hell for all eternity. But Jesus rose from the grave. But that's not where the story ends. 40 days later, he ascended into heaven. I don't know if you ever thought about this, but the scripture says that Jesus will reign in heaven. You know what that means? A man with flesh and blood like yours and mine sits on the throne of heaven. And why? Because one day he's going to come back and bring all those that know him to be in heaven with him. The Bible talks about him having with him 10,000 of his saints. And by the way, the word saint just means somebody is saved. It doesn't mean somebody is real special and saved. If you're born again, you're a saint. And the Bible says that all of those who are his will be with him for all eternity. I talked to a lady not too long ago, and she said, you know, David, I just wish that I didn't always have some kind of a financial problem, some kind of a health issue, some kind of a relationship issue. I just wish I didn't have to deal with all that stuff. And I said, you're ahead of schedule. And she looked at me and said, what do you mean? I said, what you're talking about is heaven. Heaven is where we'll be, and there'll be no more tears, no more sorrow, no more pain. And all of this is possible because of what we will celebrate tomorrow morning. He is risen from the dead. And Corinthians, Paul said, oh, death, where's your sting? Oh, grave, where's your victory? Somebody asked me one time, where would you like to be when the second coming has in the, and I've said many times, I'd like to be in a cemetery. I'd like to be there when all those folks come out of the grave. Wouldn't that be great? And the day is coming because of what we celebrate tomorrow.
And Pastor, should there be anyone listening tonight, and we only have seconds remaining, and I hope I'm not being pretentious in this, and I sure don't want to rush it, but if somebody out there would like to know how to accept Christ.
The scripture very simply says this. The Bible says that if you're willing to confess your sin and ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, that he will forgive your sin and that he will save your soul. If you want to be saved, I encourage you that you do this, that you pray that prayer. Find a Bible-believing church and tell the pastor there what's happened to you.
Thank you, Pastor, for being with us. Happy Easter, everybody. Confederate History Month continues next week. We'll be back to the regular standard fare with Keith and Eddie, as well as yours truly. For my Pastor David Rogers, I'm James Edwards. Good night, everybody.